So I wonder what we're going to talk about tonight. Any thoughts? The Bible? Something that happens to all of us at some time or another.
Trials?
Well, trials can cause this problem. How about distraction? Well, distract. Have you ever been distracted? What does it mean to distract? Any thoughts, any ideas? I'm sorry? I didn't quite get. I heard two people talking. Go ahead, Erlian. To get off track, off that train of thought. What did you say, Jonathan? To take your focus off. Any other thoughts? To get sidetracked. Okay, so to draw away from, to divert, as to get your mind off of something that it should be on. We all get distracted, don't we? Men get distracted, don't they? You move into a new house and, honey, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And 10 years later, it's still not done. Because you got distracted. Not that you weren't busy, but you got distracted from what you said you were going to do. Women, do you ever get distracted? I think it was yesterday. I was cleaning, I think. And I started doing one thing, and I saw something else, and I left what I was doing and went and did the other thing. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. Distracted. Last week, I had a temptation to get distracted. I was having a trial. Somebody mentioned trials. And my thought was, I'm not going to do prayer in the morning. And I wrestled with that, and I wrestled with that. And I said, okay, I'll call them in the morning just before 7:15 and tell them I'm not going to do it. And all of a sudden I thought, no, I'm not giving in to that. But it would have been easy, especially knowing me, to be distracted from what I was to be doing, what the Lord wanted me to do. The other morning, it was nobody's fault. People either had to go to the doctor or go someplace, and there was nobody praying but me. And I was reading something, and it was very interesting, and I could have kept reading, and all of a sudden I thought, you're being distracted. Get up and go pray. So I got up and I went and I prayed and I had a beautiful prayer time. So we can get distracted. You hear a lot of talk today about distracted driving. What does it mean to be a distracted driver? You drive with Brother John and he gets distracted because he's talking to you. And he misses his turn. That happened here, I think it was when I was sick after I had my shoulder surgery, and he was taking me back home, and he was talking, and he forgot what he was doing. But not focusing on what we're supposed to. And they say that distracted driving, I have some... Distracted driving is any activity that diverts attention from driving, including talking or texting on your phone, eating, drinking, talking to people in your vehicle, fiddling with the stereo, entertainment or navigation system, anything that takes your attention from the task of safe driving. Texting is the most alarming distraction. Sending or reading a text, listen to this, takes your eyes off the road for 5 seconds. at 55 miles an hour, that's like driving the length of an entire football field with your eyes closed. And I found that in more than one place on the web. Causes a lot of accidents, doesn't it? People die. I thought I had here, but I can't find it. How many? Okay, in 2018, distracted driving claimed 2,841 lives. And sometimes it's not the driver, but the passenger or somebody on the street. I listened, as I was doing this and I looked it up, I listened to a woman on the internet, and she was saying, she was really crying because she had been with a friend and she had left the friend and was driving home, I guess, and somebody texted, the friend texted her, and she wasn't thinking, and she reached down, picked it up and read it, hit a tractor, threw the guy off the tractor, and he died. And she said, a day doesn't go by that she doesn't consider that, you know, think about that. So we can get distracted. It's one thing to get distracted in the natural, but how about spiritually getting distracted? Getting distracted from what God wants me to do. So if we're not going to get distracted, we need to learn to focus. What does it mean to focus? To pay attention, to adjust your eyes. You know, some people's eyes don't focus, but you're concentrating on something and you're giving it your full attention. I called Brother Charles the other night. I wanted to get on the members' website. What I was trying to find, Brother Charles, was to see if there were any prophecies that the Lord had given us, just as a reminder to go back. But I couldn't find anything that was really would have brought out my point. But anyway, got me thinking, and I found a couple of prophecies that the Lord spoke directly to me. That wasn't on the web. It was email that you had sent me. One was in 2012. It was through Brother John. And one was last year, November 3rd of 2019, through Sister Judy. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but it caused me to begin to say, I need to be focusing on what the Lord has spoken. You know, it's easy to get your mind on other things, isn't it? It's easy to, after a while, forget about what's going on. And the Lord, and I keep coming back to this, and you'll have to forgive me, but it's what I feel the Lord wants me to speak on. The Lord has spoken a lot to us about revival, about great harvest of souls. But you know, if we're not careful, we can go on and get busy with everyday life and not even really consider what God has said to us. It's easy, it's in the back of our minds, and we think about it and we think, yeah, God is going to move, God is going to work, God's going to bless. But are we really focused on it? I began thinking about all these riots that we've had in the United States, the lives that are lost, the destruction of property. And, you know, if we think about that, it certainly should get us focused. Because lives, souls are dying. Souls are going into hell. Souls are falling into the pit. And what are we doing? Are we focused on what God has called us to do? Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Here's a good woman. A woman who loved Jesus. A woman whose house was open to Jesus. He had an open invitation, I believe, to their house. Because he loved them, they loved him. We read that through scripture. We see that in action. And so Jesus went to their house and Martha gladly received him. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We'll talk about Mary later. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha was a very hospitable person. And she was preparing a meal for the master. She was preparing a meal for the one she loved. And she was all taken up with that. Now, it's great to be hospitable. The scripture tells us that we should be. It says not to even be forgetful to entertain strangers. But it can hinder us. And it can hinder us from that which, as we're going to see here, from that which is very, very important. Now, Martha is cooking. She's serving the Lord, but she's burdened. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Martha was burdened down with doing a good thing. Hey, we have to live life, don't we? We have a lot of things going on daily. But does it distract us from what God has really presented to us to do? Does it blind our eyes, get our attention away from the Lord, from prayer, from seeking God, from reaching out to souls? She's burdened down. What's a care? Definition of a care is said is an anxiety, a worry, a trouble. We have lots of those, don't we? Lots of things to cause us to worry about if we let it. Lots of things to cause us to be overly concerned about. I've been joking lately and telling folks, when they ask me how I'm doing, I said, "I can only die once." It's true. And you know, there's not a thing I can do about it. Somebody said to me today, "Yeah, but we're not ready for you to go." I said, "Well, when Jesus is ready for me, I guess I'll go." We can get so burdened down with sickness, with care of the house, can get so burdened down with our family duties, with your children. I don't have any, but with your children. Family affair, whatever you have to do. But become so burdened that you really, you know, some people get so burdened, they can't even sleep at night. They're in a state of anxiety all the time. I don't believe that's God's way for us. Just be anxious all the time, worrying about this and worrying about that and being concerned about this child and that child and what they're doing and what they're not doing. You can't change them. You know, if we'd worry less and pray more, a lot more would be accomplished. You know that little chorus we sing in Sunday school? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? instead of worrying, instead of being taken up with all the cares of this life, hey, they choke the word of God, don't they? They choke the promises of God. God's called us to pray. God's called us to seek Him. God's called us to get our attention on Him. I began thinking today, and I was again trying to, I found the sermon, but for some reason I couldn't download it. I wanted to go back and listen to that sermon Sister Judy preached back in, I think it was November 3rd of last year, about being in love with Jesus and following hard after Him whom my soul loveth. I think it would do us all good to go back and listen to that. But our soul, the Him whom our soul loves, and being so taken up with Jesus, seeking after Jesus and crying out unto Jesus. You know, if I'm overly burdened and concerned about things in my life, in what's going on in my family, I'm not thinking about the souls that are out there that are perishing in sin. How are we going to get a harvest of souls if we're not praying for them? You know, most of those people, you'll never have an opportunity to personally witness to. You won't. We're not going to witness to everybody that God's going to draw in here. It's our prayers that will make the difference. It's our seeking God and crying out to God for souls that's going to make a difference. And not being so taken up with my own worries and my own cares and my family and my children and my brothers and my mother and my father and, you know, we can go on and on and on. But getting our minds on lost souls and crying out to God that He would bring them in, that He would save them, that He would draw them, that God's Spirit would be like a magnet. You know what a magnet's like. And you just, that thing, well, I have some little magnets that I, some of them I had on my refrigerator, and I realized that my outer door was magnetic, and I have them on the door. I'll tell you, if I don't pray, with all that the Lord has caused me to come across, if I don't obey God and pray, woe be unto me. That's all I can say. But I put those on the door, and they stayed there because the door is magnetic and they're magnetic. And magnets draw. Magnets pull. And that's what we need to be focused on as God's people. It's pulling souls in. Asking God to draw them in. Asking God to just, like a magnet, just bring them. Like I said, you're not going to talk to everybody. But you can pray. God can lead you to pray for them. God can lead you to touch their lives. And so, Martha wanted Jesus to tell Mary, come and help her. She wanted to get her sister straightened out. That's burdening her down. Sometimes we get burdened down focusing on what somebody else is doing or not doing. It's none of my business, is it? None of our business. Let God take care of them. Jesus said, and we'll go on and talk about what Jesus said about Mary, but Jesus wasn't concerned about Mary. Jesus was pleased with her, and that's for another time, but He wasn't concerned, but Martha was. And so Martha's all taken. She's burdened down by serving. She's burdened down with her cooking. She's burdened down now because her sister seems to be lazy and not wanting to help. And so she's lost her focus. Her focus that day should have been Jesus. That should have been her focus. Fellowshipping with Him. Having sweet communion with Him. Let's go on and talk about Mary, because that's who the Lord is commending here. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So here's Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus. I can't get down because I won't be able to get back up. But let's just suppose Jesus is here. And she's just sitting there, adoringly following her master, listening to him, fellowshipping with him, not wanting to leave his presence. Can you imagine Adam and Eve when God came down every day to fellowship with them? Can you imagine the excitement of waiting for God to come and meet with you? You know, folks, we may not see him in person, but we ought to get just as excited to get in God's presence every day. He walks with me. We sing that chorus, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. But not only does he walk with me, he talks with me. And I thought if we're going to talk, we could sit down and just talk with the Lord. That's what Mary's doing. She's sitting at Jesus' feet and just having sweet fellowship. She made the choice. She made that choice. Jesus said she has chosen the good part. What's our choice? Are we choosing the good part? Are we choosing to get alone in the presence of the Lord? And you say, well, I pray with you folks every morning at 7. Is that enough? Maybe it is. But could there be times when God wants to draw you aside from praying with everybody to have sweet fellowship and to talk with you? You know, there's some things you can't pray about when you're praying with a group of people anyway. And the scripture says, and I got really excited one Sunday morning here, maybe too much so at that point, but Brother John preached from Psalm chapter 27. Can anybody quote verse 8 for me? Anybody know what verse 8 is? I'm sure Brother John does, but does anybody else remember what Psalm 27:8 is? Julie? When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Lord, thy face will I seek. Are you focused enough to hear that voice in your ear, drawing you aside, saying, child, come, fellowship with me. Child, come and talk with me. Child, come and draw near to me. And remember, it will benefit me, but I don't want it to just benefit me. I want it to benefit others. During those times of fellowshipping with the Lord, maybe he wants to lay someone in your heart to pray for. Maybe someone is having a struggle. And they're just needing a word from the Lord. Not that you're going to prophesy to them. I don't mean that. But they're needing some encouragement. And God can give you that word that's fitly spoken. Just what they're needing to hear. Have you ever been down and somebody came along and said something to you and you said, that was just what I needed? You know, we can talk a lot and we talk to each other. But you know, when you're having a trial, have you ever, let me just ask you this. Have you ever been in a trial that people come along and they say a lot of things and it does nothing, absolutely nothing for you? Been there, done that. It's the word of God, and yet it just doesn't seem like it does anything. But, oh, to be so sensitive to the Lord that he can give you a word that's fitly spoken for an individual. And maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be a believer. It can be an unbeliever, that God can give you a word that's fitly spoken for them. Being focused enough to get in your prayer closet and talk with the Lord, where he can lay someone on your heart, someone who's really hurting. And he can give you, again, something to say to them. Maybe he doesn't want you to say anything to them. Maybe he just wants you to intercede and to pray for them. I was praying for somebody last night in prayer meeting, and I no sooner got started praying for them than, oh, God just anointed me to just really, and I'm not saying that all my prayer time is like this, please don't get me wrong, but I'm just pointing out to you what the Lord can do. And God just really laid this person on my heart. And they're not a sinner, they're a Christian, they're not backslidden, but yet God knew what they needed. And that's the type of people we want to be. We were so focused on Jesus, so focused to be in his presence and seeking him and crying out to him, that he can just give you what someone needs. So he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. I wonder what the Lord was telling Mary that day. What was he revealing to her? What might the Lord want to tell you? You know, sometimes we think if God's going to speak to us, if you're like me anyway, he's going to say something negative. But you ever notice when the Lord, well, most of the time anyway, if God calls somebody out in church, no matter what their situation is, that God encourages them, God works to draw them closer, and God's not telling them a whole lot of negative things. We watched a funeral here not long ago, and there was a man in the, I guess he was a preacher, I don't know. But anyway, he was quote unquote prophesying for a long time, and it was all very negative. God doesn't work like that. God works to comfort. And you know, as we're comforted by the Lord, as God speaks to us and helps us, we're able to reach out and help others. I was thinking about, you know, you have a vehicle, and most of us probably do, and you can't run it forever without putting gas in it. You ever ran out of gas? I've had times when I've had to pray, Lord. I think just last week I did this because I had planned. I knew I had to go someplace, and I knew, you know, I was just about on E, and I thought, okay. But my way got turned around. I didn't get lost, but I ended up having to do more than I plan to do, and I'm on E and I'm driving, and I'm like, Lord, please stretch my gas. He did. Help me to get to a gas station. But we need to refuel. Not only a car, think of your own life. And, you know, some people end up in the hospital and they have a lot of problems, and maybe their heart's fluttering, or, you know, they have a headache, and they get to the hospital, and guess what they tell them? You're dehydrated. You need an IV, and you've got to be replenished. They've got to stick a needle in you and give you some fluid. And I was thinking, you know, as Christians, we need to be rehydrated. We've got to get in God's presence so he can give us what we need. And you know, if I'm dehydrated, I'm no good to anybody. Really? I need help. But when I'm well hydrated, I can be busy, I can be up, I can be working. And that's where we want to be, where we're so hydrated and filled with the Spirit of God because we've spent time in God's presence, that now the power of God and the blessing of God not only is going to flow into me, but it's going to flow out to others. That's why we're here, folks. It's to be a blessing. I mean, Jesus could have saved us and taken us to heaven, but he kept us here so that we can reach others. We can touch the lives of others. And so the Bible says that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But they're not going to flow out if I get distracted and don't apply myself to spiritual things. It's only as I give myself to God, I get in his presence, I cry out to him. Mary has chosen that good part, and he says, and it shall not be taken away from her. Let's choose that good part. Let's choose to be close to Jesus. Let's choose to get in his presence and not get cumbered down with the things of this world. Natural, necessary things, but let's not get cumbered by them. Let's not let them distract us. Let's not let, like I told you, I had a trial and that almost distracted me from doing what I knew God wanted me to do. We can't do that. We've got to make the choice. I choose to seek after God. I choose to cry out unto God for revival. I choose to stay on my knees and pray until God sends that great outpouring. Don't get distracted and think, you know, and so that you lose sight of what God wants to do while souls are dying and souls are going to hell. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's be about seeking after God and crying out to God. You hear me talking about that all the time, but that's what I guess, because God is doing that in my life. But let's get in with the Lord and seek God and cry out to God. Lord, when you say seek my face, Lord, if it be in the middle of the night, Lord, your face I'm going to seek. Lord, if it be the middle of the day, Lord, you prompt me to pray, your face will I seek. Lord, no matter who you're asking me to pray for, Lord, your face I will seek. Make that choice. Make that decision. Lord, souls are going to hell, and I'm not going to lose sight of that vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Souls perish because Christians have lost their vision. I know a minister of the gospel, at least he's to be a minister of the gospel. And it seems like all he's focused on these days is the black and white issue. You know all that's going on in this country, and he'll argue, and it's like he's just focused on that. And in my mind, I say, what about souls? What about people that are dying and going off into hell? What this world needs is not policies. What this world needs is not a new president or an old president or any of that. What this world needs is Jesus. And how can we give them Jesus if we don't stay in touch with him? We've got to stay in touch. We've got to keep that focus. Lord, I'm going to seek you. Lord, I'm going to reach out for souls. Lord, I'm going to pray until I see the power of God come down in a mighty way. I'm going to see revival like I've never seen before. Don't lose your focus, folks. Don't get distracted. Don't let the cares of this life distract you. Don't let the trials of your faith distract you. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus and seek after God. Lord, your face I'm going to seek. He says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not of. Keep calling. Keep crying. Keep seeking. Keep calling unto God. God knows what he wants to do, but he's wanting you and I to reach out to him. He's wanting you and I to cry unto him. Ask of God. He says, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance. Ask of him. We have an open invitation. Let's cry out. Let's get in his presence. Let's walk with him. Let's talk with him. Let's focus on the right thing. Focus on Christ. Focus on revival. Focus on souls and not on ourselves. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Brother John.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Why don't you stand to your feet and let's just stretch your hands toward heaven and respond unto what the Lord is speaking here in this evening. Praise God. Each and every one of your children here tonight, God, to not in any way be distracted or lose our focus from you. But, oh, God, we ask you to be the center of attraction. Oh, Jesus, the focus of our hearts.